Hey, everyone. So I'm a little nervous to be up here speaking in front of all of you. As I finish up high school and I'm going to be going to college next year, it's really apparent to me how little I know compared to everyone in this room. Whether you are 10 years older than me or even like 20 years older than me, you have far more knowledge about the way the world works because you have experienced so much more of it than I have. I tried to come up with a list of things that I don't know, but I don't really know what could go on that list. I can come up here and spout off every equation that I've learned in school and every life lesson that I've learned, but I wouldn't teach anything to any of you, and I'd probably end up learning stuff from doing it. But I wonder, what can I say up here in the time that I have with all of your attention that will make you leave the room with something new and something valuable? So I've spent a lot of time thinking about that question over the past couple of weeks, and I think that I found an answer. Just kidding. Coming up with that kind of stuff is hard. I've decided to try, but no guarantees I'll give anyone a major revelation today. I figure the best thing I can do is I can give you all a different perspective. Personally, I really enjoy hearing how you adults see the world, tackle problems, and go about life. So maybe you'd be interested to hear how I do those things. As a senior in high school, the big thing in my life right now, all I can think about, all society wants me to think about, what keeps me up at night, just to make sure we're on the same page, can someone yell it out for me? I was going to say girls, but college works too. I'll talk about college, I guess. Indeed, it is the time in my life when I leave Sudbury and go to study at college for 4 years. Luckily, I figured out I'm going to UMass Amherst a while ago, so that has been off my mind. But there's still so much to consider. What classes should I take? Should I focus more on academics or on activities? What kind of people should I hang out with? What should I do after college? All these questions I just can't find the answers to. Now, I warn you right now, I'm going to get kind of sidetracked, but hopefully I tie it all together at the end like a big fat burrito, you know? As a whole, high school is ending. College is beginning. It's a transition. Now, unlike pretty much everyone else in this room, I've never been through a transition this big. I'll be moving halfway across the state and living with some dude that I just met. Like, what if he smells bad? I'll just drop out of college if he smells bad. I have to live without my parents and without my friends and manage my own time. In essence, what I have to do is uproot my life here, like take all the roots that I've spread across Sudbury over the past 15 years and bring as many of them as I can with me to Amherst. But the problem is that I'm not that strong. I cannot carry too many roots. For some people, leaving high school is the reward for finishing it. I was talking to my brother yesterday. He just graduated Becker College and was really confused about how I could be sad to leave high school. But for me, my 4 years at LS have been the best 4 years of my life. Even if college is better, there's still a lot to leave behind here in Sudbury. The big thing I'm sad to leave behind here in Sudbury is the relationships that I've formed. Some background on me, I've always had really good friends that I can count on and can make me laugh and make me feel happy and that can support me. I've been blessed to have these friends throughout my life. The other day, I was with my best friend driving back from a friend's house, and somewhere along the way, we started talking about our time together at LS, and it was really amazing, and I'm a big enough man to admit that I started to cry. I tend to get emotional about that stuff. We didn't talk for long, and we didn't even talk about anything specific. To be honest, conversation pretty much went, "Dude, the last 4 years have been actually pretty great." And he said, "Yeah." And then I started to cry. This is a big moment for me. It was brief, but us two thinking about our best times in high school and realizing how close it was to being over was really meaningful to me. And I know that I'll remain friends with the people that I know now, but it will not be the same. Getting to the point in a friendship where you can cry over the good times that you've had with each other takes both time and trust. And to be honest, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to come close enough with anyone in college to be able to do that. According to many, college friendships end up being more important. But I don't want to trivialize what I have now. The idea of disregarding the people that I enjoy being with and make new friends does not seem like the right thing to do. But on the other hand, I do need to spend time with friends that I make at college and adapt myself to be with those people. So, as you can tell, I'm currently trying to figure out whether or not I'm supposed to hold on or let go. I looked up quotes about holding on and letting go, and the top two quotes I saw on Google were, "Whatever comes, let it come, and whatever goes, let it go." And the other one is, "To find happiness, you need to find something to hold on to." So the world is giving me very mixed signals. I guess I'm supposed to hold on to some things and let go of others. I know it's okay to let go of the stuff that isn't important in high school, like that one teacher you just can't find in your heart to like, even though I keep hearing that love surrounds us. But I really want to stay close with my current friends and hold on to those friendships. But maybe I'm not supposed to. In the words of Havelock Ellis, "All the art of living lies in a fine mingling of letting go and holding on." Thanks, Ellis. That really helps a lot. Could you maybe make a list of what I'm supposed to let go of and what I'm supposed to hold on to? I might not stay friends with everyone, but I will be sure to hold on to the memories and the times that I have shared with my friends, and they will always mean something to me because I loved high school. I think the reason I liked high school a lot more than some people is because I grew a lot as an individual throughout it, largely because of my experiences with others. I'm really proud of who I am today and thankful that my friends stuck with me and helped me along the way. I was really immature before high school. I still am. But I have definitely grown into someone that has the ability to handle whatever situation comes my way. When I entered high school, my confidence in myself and my trust in others had been destroyed by the terror that is middle school. It is really only because of my friends that I was able to reshape myself into who I am and who I wanted to become. But this transition took all of 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, and it's going to continue to happen as I grow up. Every day I grow as a person because my friends urge me. Like, I strive to be a better person for them and to become better at everything that I do. I feel like moving forward in my life, I am prepared for what has happened in high school and the way I have grown up over the past few years. While planning for today, one of my friends showed me a letter that he wrote to himself back in freshman year. He wrote about the things he'd tend to in that letter. He wrote about how things were going for him, who he hoped he would be in 4 years, how hard his science class was, you know, all that. This inspired me to reflect on who I was, who I am, and who I want to be. So after I saw my friend's letter, I decided to write my own. I wrote about how I remember being a little freshman at the beginning of high school who was too naive to understand the things going on in the world. How today, I think I am pretty great at the things that I do, and I feel as though I have broken out of my shell and started to take advantage of the gift of life. And when I began to write about who I wanted to be, I realized that it had nothing to do with where I went to school, or what classes I was doing, or how I was doing in those classes, or what clubs I would be joining. The most important thing that I said to myself was, "I hope that you are still nice and you treat people the way you do now." I, and I think every other high school student, has been so distracted with the questions that people keep asking us. What college are you going to? What's your major? Because of those first two questions, when someone then says, "Who do you want to be when you grow up?" all I think about is what job I want. But that doesn't really matter. I should be spending time thinking about who I want to become as a person. I really enjoy these youth Sundays because it forces me to think. It puts me in a position where I have to find an answer. I can't just come up here and talk about beginnings and endings and say, "Oh, you know, they're kind of bittersweet, kind of exciting, but also nerve-wracking, kind of sad, kind of happy." Those are all the emotions that anyone feels. But there's so much more significance to the moment. 1 month ago, I was freaking out about leaving my friends and trying new things, but now I have a better grasp of the situation. I still feel bittersweet, kind of excited, a little nervous, both happy and sad, as anyone does. But I also feel something else now, an emotion I hope I can share with all of you for when you all end and begin new chapters in your own life. I feel fulfilled. For the past few months, I have seized every day. I wake up at 5:30 in the morning because I'm excited to wake up. And I get to school a half an hour early because I want to see all my friends. And my friends can vouch for this one. Every single day, I text them asking to make plans and get together. Even if everyone's busy, I'll just keep on texting them. Why do I do all of this? Because being forced to think about these transitional periods in life while planning for today, I've realized that beginnings and endings to parts of our lives are unimportant when compared to all the things that happens during those parts. Imagine your life as a book. Let's use Lord of the Flies. If you just look at the beginning and the end of the book, a bunch of kids crash on an island and a bunch of kids get rescued. The beginning and the end is not why the book is so famous. What makes The Lord of the Flies one of the best novels ever written is how the characters act throughout the book, the way that they change, and the experiences that they go through. What I want to leave you here today is the acknowledgement that an end of a chapter and the beginning of a new one will always make you feel excited, a little nervous, probably bittersweet, happy, sad. But don't focus on that. Focus on what it means to you. Instead, take the time to realize what has happened in your life, how amazing it has been, and how you can make the next chapter even more amazing than the last by holding on to the moments, friends, and experiences that make you a better person. And let go of that one science class in freshman year that ruined your GPA. I am no longer anywhere near as frightened to move on with my life and leave my friends behind as they go on their own ways to different colleges, because I realize that what I have learned with them and what I have loved to do with them is a part of me and will continue to be a part of me wherever I go. Thank you.
So when Bailey and I first kind of sat down with Marilyn to think, like, what kind of a theme do we want to talk about? What can we talk about? We've already done, we talked about siblings 1 year, we talked about youthness last year. It's kind of a, you know, tough thing to think of something new for this kind of a service. So the first topic that kind of came to my mind was endings and beginnings. Why not beginnings and endings, some of you may ask. But I kind of think that beginnings and endings and beginnings, it's not that everything happens in a straight line. It's not that something starts and then it ends. It's that something ends and something new begins. So endings and beginnings is really more of a circular way to put it, because once you reach the end of the sentence, that's where you're beginning, and you have to loop back to the beginning of the sentence and you keep going. So it's really kind of a cycle that you go through, and it's kind of what more realistic with what happens in your life. Something ends, and then something new starts. So I'm going to share two stories that I wrote with you today. One is a poem, and one is a short story. Both are based in my experiences, but have elements of fiction, be warned. So as I read these, think about your own lives. We all have experienced endings with profound effects on us. Bailey and I with our impending graduations, empty nest syndrome for our parents, retirement, moving. All of these feel like the end of something really, really big. But they always lead to something new. College, a new house. I don't know what my parents are going to do. They'll miss me too much. So this is what these kind of stories represent. His art studio is small, but not as small as some of the studios on the lower floors. The walls are white, and Grandpa keeps a silver wreath with holiday lights in the window so that whenever we drive by, we know which room is his. There's a sturdy table in the middle of the room, which is his workspace. The plain white walls are covered with his paintings, the purples and reds fighting for attention. His jewelry supplies sit in the corner, and his bookshelf stands tall, filled with the knowledge of hundreds of accomplished artists. I sit on his stool. When I was five, I sat here watching all of the people come and look at his work during open studio. an annual event in which people come to artist studios to see and purchase their work. People came of all shapes and colors, ages and sizes. In and out of his studio they flowed, some buying art, some not. They were a parade of color here to admire his work. The geometric shapes of explosive oranges and yellows, the paintings of serene trees. He stood at the middle of it all, proud and glowing with energy. When I was 7, I came to the studio with him almost every day to bead jewelry. We would sit for hours, him working with the pliers, while I lined up bead after bead to make my next masterpiece. Keep in mind, I was 7. Here we were happy and calm, and here we were doing something we loved. I sit here now, simply watching, while he walks around the studio, giving us boxes of beads and boxes of paints. He even gives us his easel and his books. Take a picture of him in the studio, my father says. I don't think we have any. Your aunts and uncles probably have never even seen him in here. He's had this studio for decades. How could we have taken this part of him for granted? I hold up my phone and take pictures. He's squinting or frowning in half of them. He can't stand the thought of leaving his artwork behind, and neither can I. It feels like he's leaving a part of himself here, the painter part. Some pieces of thin canvas art are laid out on the counter, things I've never even seen before. I walk over only to discover works that he made while he was taking courses, and his bio's even on display. I didn't know that he was honored at some special art show in Boston or Cambridge. I didn't know that he'd taken art classes in a different country. My mom picks up the easel and leaves the room. The end of an era, my father mutters, then follows my mother out the door, shaking his head. He, too, thinks that it's a shame for my grandfather to quit, but it was never really our decision. I get up to follow them out, looking back inside the room on my way out the door. The whole room looks mournful. Artwork litters the room, lines of blacks and grays and browns cutting through each painting. It isn't his studio anymore. It's his gallery, a shrine to the memory of his painting. Standing in the middle of an almost empty room is my grandfather, surrounded by the remnants of his past. He looks lost, confused. I turn from this moment of his private desolation, and jog down the hall to catch up to my parents. So part 2 is from somebody else's perspective. It's a poem from someone who actually will be receiving the artwork from my grandfather, but this is kind of my fictionalized thoughts of their point of view. "You'll love it," they said. "Then I spent 4 years grinding through high school." "You'll love it," they said. "The college workload almost killed me." "There, wasn't that worth it all?" they ask. I'm not sure. Artwork has always been my passion. Pastels, sketching, sculpting. Each I tried my hand at in college. Then I tried painting. The violets and the greens, the shades and the hues, the reds and the blues. The colors drew me in, wrapped me up, and kept me safe. Now I step out into the world unguided. No more high school, no more college, no more living with my parents. Store to store, website upon website, yard sales one by one. I searched for my own equipment long and hard. $100 here, $200 somewhere else. It all adds up fast. I can't afford to even start in my profession, never mind thrive as an artist. That is, until I see a posting. Someone's retiring from art. They're giving up their studio, their brushes, their canvases. No costs, no requirements. My dad calls them. This is it, my big break. This is the start of my career. I pick up a brush and start. The first stroke, a line across the page, full of potential for the work yet to come. So, as you see, an ending isn't really an ending. It is, in fact, a beginning.
We're going to take a few moments to silently reflect on this.